Hello and welcome to the program. Today we begin a series on the second coming of the Lord. We will be looking today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13 through 18. When I was 12 years old, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and developed a tremendous hunger for the Word of God. As I began to study the Bible, I found very quickly that there's a lot in the Scriptures about the return of Jesus Christ. I began to look at that a lot. I really enjoyed that subject, and I still do. It's interesting that there's more than a quarter of the Bible that deals with prophecy, and both the Old and the New Testament deal with the return of Jesus Christ. There's actually more in the Old Testament concerning his second coming than there is concerning his first coming. There are over 1,800 references in the Old Testament concerning his return. There's 17 Old Testament books that deal with this theme. There's more than 300 references to the Lord's return in the New Testament. One in every 30 verses in the New Testament deal with his return. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to his second coming, and for every prophecy concerning the first coming of Christ, there are 8 referring to his second coming. One thing is sure, he is coming again. Listen to this message in song. Once he does come, what then?
When the great busy plants of our cities shall have turned out their last finished work, when the merchants have sold their last order and dismissed every last weary clerk, when our banks have raked in their last dollar and have paid out their last dividend, when the judge of the earth wants a hearing and he asks for a balance, what then? What then? What then? When he asks for a balance, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has voiced his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died out in the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar and the pews are all empty of men, when each one stands facing his record and the great book is opened, what then? What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the actors have played their last drama and the mimic has made his last fun, when the movie has flashed its last picture and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure has vanished, gone out in the darkness again, when the trumpet of ages has sounded and we stand before him, what then? What then? What then? When we stand before him, what then? When the bugle call sinks into silence and the long marching column stands still, when the captain repeats his last orders and they've captured the last fort and hill, when the flag has been hauled from the masthead All the wounded afield have checked in, and the world that rejected its Savior is asked for a reason. What then? What then? What then? When you're asked for a reason, what then?
When studying the scriptures concerning the return of Christ, we need to understand that the Bible talks about the rapture of the believers, and it talks about the return of Christ, which are actually two different things. Concerning the rapture for Christians, that is when the bridegroom comes for his saints. He comes for his bride. He rewards his saints. In that situation, the Bible says he comes in the air. It will be a very private thing. The Bible says he will come as a thief in the night, and it's referred to as the blessed hope. While he comes for his saints, which is what we call the rapture of the Christian, then when he comes with his saints, that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here, he is not coming as a bridegroom, but he's coming as a king. He is coming not to bring reward to the saints, but judgment to the sinners. When he comes for his saints, the Bible says he comes in the air, and we meet him in the air. When he comes with his saints, he comes right to the earth. When he comes for his saints, the Bible says he comes as a thief in the night. And when he comes with his saints, it says every eye shall see him. When he comes for his saints, it's referred to as the blessed hope. When he comes with his saints, there is no hope for those in this world. The Bible says it'll be judgment, and that without mixture. Today we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Let's read it here for content to get the information that is here. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now we have four things here. First, the facts. Then it deals with feelings, it deals with faith, and it deals with the future. Concerning the facts, he says here, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, the people there at that church in Thessalonica were concerned about those who had died concerning the second coming of Christ. Perhaps they died as martyrs. There was a lot of persecution going on as that church got underway there, as we read about the church in Thessalonica. And so they're concerned about those who had died in relationship to the return of Jesus Christ. And so he says here, Paul says, "I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep." Now, when you look at the scriptures, and as we live our life in this world, we need to consider the facts as it versus ignorance. Ignorance is the lack of correct information. Cults there's a lot of sincere people in cults today, but they have a lack of correct information. There's a lot of religious people today, very sincere in their religion, but they have a lack of correct information. Paul said again and again, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Then he deals with the feelings, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What is sorrow? Sorrow, according to the dictionary, is a feeling of deep distress caused by loss or disappointment. What is hope? He said that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. According to the dictionary, hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, the Bible doesn't say when we lose someone as Christians, when someone passes away in our family, that we don't sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Then he focuses on the subject of faith. He says, for if we believe, if we believe. Now, he's talking to Christians. If we believe, they're already saved. So he's not talking about getting saved here. It's talking about what we believe as Christians. Most of the time in the Bible, when you see the word faith, it's not talking about trust. Only 5 times out of 245 times does it refer to trusting the Lord. But 240 times in the New Testament, it talks about what we believe. And so he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Faith. What we honestly believe determines our feelings. In verse number 13, we honestly believe the scriptures, we will sorrow not as those that have no hope. Hope is a desire of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to what we really believe, we have a series, and I want to expand on that series some more in the future, on dealing with our feelings. The Bible has a lot to say about how to deal with our feelings. So he looks at the facts, he deals with the feelings, he talks about our faith, and then he looks to the future. And he says here in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. 7 things he says here in verse 16 and 17. 1, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself, number 1. Number 2, he shall descend from heaven. Number 3, with a shout. Number 4, with the voice of the archangel. And number 5, with the trump of God. 6, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Number 7, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The first thing he says here in verse number 15, he said, we say unto you by the word of the Lord. We can rest assured that everything that the word of the Lord says, everything the Bible says, is going to happen. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Bible said all through the Old Testament that Jesus would come and he would die for us as he did, and he did it exactly as the scriptures said he would. Not only that, if we look into the future, it says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That will happen according to the scriptures, exactly like the scriptures say they are going to happen. And so Paul concludes this letter to those people at Thessalonica. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, the Bible says these things happen unto them, but they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What we need to do is look up. Our Redeemer draweth nigh. And comfort one another, that same word has been translated exhorting in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, where we read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and earth will